What would you say you do here?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
I'm bringing us in, and we're in.
Oh, we're in now?
We are.
At the same time, we're both in?
We're both in. At the two dudes at the same time, man.
All right.
We're going to Eiffel Tower this podcast.
It's kind of crowded in here.
It is a little. Okay. Oh. Yeah, it's not as echoey as it was once.
Right.
Oh, man. Well, it's finally done. The asphalt's done.
The asphalt is done. That's a lot of asphalt out there.
Like 15 acres? Is that what it was?
That's a big old asphalt.
It's asphalt.
15 acres worth. It started at 13 and a half, then it got a little bit bigger, so it's somewhere around 15 acres.
Yeah, it's...
Of 4 inches of asphalt.
This has been a long... Any of y'all that have been listeners for a long period of time know that one of the things that, you know, that has been plaguing Paul and his business for many, many years is how shitty the taxiway, whatever the fuck it's called.
It's a ramp area.
It's a ramp area.
Like a work area at this end of the airport.
And sure. It's horrible. It was basically gravel.
Gravelly, yeah.
And dangerous for planes, for you know, engines, propellers,
and whatnot. Before I signed on the dotted line, I was told it would be done in less than 5 years.
So less than 5 years would have been about 12 years ago.
Yeah, something
that
like
would have been 5 years would have been about 12 years ago.
Yes.
And like now that. It's done. And you've been
finally
in 9 months, right? We start almost
10 months.
Almost 10 months.
Because it was... started in July.
Which is great. Today's the first day like that I've been able to drive out here on something paved in lots of months.
Did you happen to really think about and appreciate and notice how smooth it is?
I actually drove all the way to the edge and did like a double S turn.
Yeah.
And S curves just to really check it out.
They did a pretty good job, didn't they?
They really did.
It's nice.
And I even took it and put my truck in neutral and let it just from stop and let it roll to see what kind of slope there was. Mm-hmm. And there's hardly any slope to it.
Right. There's a slight slope this way. It's supposed to have
for drainage, but not enough for my truck with, you know, relatively brand new wheel bearings in the front.
Right.
That rolls very easily. It wasn't quite enough for it to get rolling. So. I think they did a fantastic job.
So I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday where I brought my plane from outside tie down parking to where I brought it, because they said, yeah, go ahead and do what you got to do now, because they were still out there doing some stuff. But they so I was slowly to come in. It was super nice. And then Sunday I flew also, because it was a nice evening, and I just kind of pulled out a little bit and then started right up, and it was a nice long smooth taxi out there, and it was so nice coming in taxiing. This is just so people that don't fly, you won't understand it, but it's a quarter of a mile. It's over a quarter mile from here to where it was shitty.
Yeah.
And it's now not, and that's going to help open up this end of the airport for further development, because otherwise nobody would have looked at this end down here to develop it.
No, they wouldn't have given a shit.
They've got some stuff coming up shortly. Anyway, so that's done. And there you have it.
There's that.
And we have the first customer that came in yesterday who taxied in over the surface. And I kind of had to tell him he needed to really appreciate it because of what he just did. And I said, you're the first customer. Yeah, it was nice. It should be nice.
It better be nice.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't have the data yet. I'm not going to give the data. This coming Monday, we've got a commission meeting. So we'll have more updated data, I believe. And then I'll just give all the tons of stuff.
Updata.
The train. Yeah. The train cars. All that other stuff that was...
all the various stats. Yeah, that'll be...
It's pretty staggering stats. So anyway, so that's done.
And now all that shit's Oklahoma's problem. Bye.
It certainly is. Oh, Oklahoma, where the dross comes sweeping down the... I think it's on an Indian reservation. I'm not making that up. I think the Indians get paid a lot of money to keep all that stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think it's in theory, it's properly, you know...
Oh, I'm sure there's containment in the grounds. Yeah, I have no doubt. Well, that's great. I'm glad, and I was real happy to drive across it. It's a very minor inconvenience for me because at most it's once a week.
Right.
Well, there were a couple times where I drove out here more than once, but it really wasn't that in a week. But it's not that big of an inconvenience for me. It's been a huge detriment and inconvenience for you and main point of contention.
For 10 months. And then prior to that, just shitty. No more... Very little more abuse is going to happen to my propeller.
Yeah, so now you can get the file out and fix that.
And fix it for the last time, hopefully, maybe. The other cool thing is about, because we do movie nights out here sometimes, as we all know, you know, I know, other people know, listen to this podcast, but it's kind of cool the way they made this temporary kind of compressed dirt road out here. Whatever. Yeah. So if people were to come in, rather than driving out all there and everything, they can just come through here.
Yeah.
You know, and then park right back here and we watch this movie, whatever, and leave out that way. You know, close the gate, and you don't have to have a bunch of people out there, you know, a bunch of vehicles. Although it's kind of cool, like you said, it's kind of fun to, but you're not really supposed to. You know, it's better not to have unnecessary vehicles out there driving around amongst all the airplanes.
Oh, yeah. No, the more vehicles you put out there, the more likely it is something bad's going to happen.
Something's going to happen, yeah. So that's done. That happened. Finished on Saturday. And then you were in Utah over the weekend.
Yes, I went to Utah last weekend.
To become a Mormon, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about, the teachings.
Yeah.
No. In fact,
you
not
cannot
at all.
Just become a Mormon, can you? I don't mean you. I could not become a Mormon.
They probably wouldn't let me. They're like, no, we have a file on you.
But if I wanted to become a Mormon, me at my age, white dude, could I do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So could I. Like anybody can.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't just wake up one day and be like, I'm going to be Mormon now and just be Mormon.
I still have to go do the...
You have to do the missionary talks and meet with the bishop, and then you'll eventually, over time, you'll get baptized. And
okay.
And then they, start giving you...
But that's not why you went.
The club membership. That is not why I went.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I went to a music festival called Kilby Block Party, which is... This is the fifth year that the music festival has been going on. Kilby Court is a small venue in Salt Lake City that's been around for 25 years.
And what is it? What's Kilby Court?
Kilby Court, it's an art space. It's a music venue. It's visual art as well. Like just
big park?
No. It's a building and courtyard area.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's where this whole thing took place?
Absolutely not. No, that's why it's named Kilby Block Party.
I gotcha.
Because
it's a block.
So it's not a block. It is a block, but it's the the Utah State Fairgrounds.
Okay.
Utah State Fair Park, which has a big rodeo arena, and
which is not near the Kilby other thing.
That's probably 2 miles away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm trying to lay the land here in my head.
Yeah, so the Kilby Court, I didn't even actually go to. We drove past it, but I didn't go in.
Okay.
Jeremiah's been in there, and I've known people that have seen concerts at Kilby Court because it's kind of one of those places where little bands, medium-level bands, play, and then they blow up later on.
Okay, based on your... Because you say you haven't seen it, but I'm sure you've seen photographs or something. Is it like a courtyard? It's like an area where
is an area like that.
Is that where the bands play then? There
they can, small? Depending. And then there's an indoor venue as well.
Okay. Yeah. Small-ish venue?
Yeah, probably 500.
Okay. And like I said, bands play there, maybe up and coming, maybe not, but they play there.
Not everybody takes off that has played there, but they had the festival is at the Utah State Fair Park.
Okay.
Which has, multiple big open grass fields and whatnot. That's where you had a main stage,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you had three smaller stages, two next to each other and then one off by itself on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Long grass, similar to, how the Eiffel Tower has the big grass, kind of goes underneath it, but on both ends of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, but obviously quite a bit smaller, mm-hmm. Probably... the grassy area total probably 300 yards long by 120 yards wide.
Okay, so just back up a little bit, just for a moment. So that's what evolved into this festival. It's like it was kind of the same namesake, and they said, this could be a thing.
We're a production company that owned this place called Kilby Court.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we do a big party? And do a big festival, so they called it the Kilby Block Party.
How long have you been doing the Block Party?
5 years. Okay. This was the fifth year.
Okay.
Jeremiah and Tiff went to last year's.
Okay.
Which
I
was
think a, I remember when he went.
Which
I
was
think.
A yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was a great lineup, and it was like, well, that's really cool. Good for you guys. This year, I was gifted a ticket,
mm-hmm.
and I paid for my plane ticket up there, and stayed in an Airbnb. And I can tell you, Paul, it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. Like, it really, it's up there. It's really up there. It's like top three.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see so many bands that groups that I'm now that I'd never heard of before, or maybe I had heard of them but never heard any, like, actually heard them, their music, mm-hmm. and got to see them live, which is what I love. Like, I've never been to a 3-day festival before.
Okay.
I've been to a 2-day festival. I've been to many 1-day festivals.
So normally how much would a ticket be for this event?
I think general admission was like $350.
Okay.
They stagger prices. Early bird prices are cheaper, and then I think they cut off sales 2 or 3 days beforehand.
So did you happen to see what, if you wanted to go more, spend more money doing it, what do you get for more money?
So what the ticket that was purchased for me is a VIP ticket.
Okay.
So there's GA, the general admission, mm-hmm. VIP, then VIP plus.
Okay.
VIP is the best value.
Okay.
Because VIP plus is for someone who has just way too much money, and all you really get is you can stand almost right up in front of the stage,
mm-hmm.
but only off to one side.
Okay.
And then I think that's
That's the only difference.
I think that's the only difference between that and VIP.
You get up closer to the stage.
Right, much closer to the stage.
Okay.
Not much closer. You can just get closer to the stage. VIP is the best, like the middle range of tickets is VIP, which is what we had.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute, hands down, the best.
Mm-hmm.
You had access to your own bank of porta potties, which were spotless.
That they weren't your basic shitty porta potties.
No,
they were nice porta potties.
They didn't stink. They were getting sucked out. They had the rear access, so you had somebody coming around with the honey dipper, sucking them out multiple times a day.
Okay.
But also because of the arena in the VIP area, that's where the like a rodeo arena. It's a mixed use arena, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the edge of it, one whole side of it, was part of the VIP area where the only VIP people, there's mm-hmm. Only those people can be in there. And about every, all the way around this giant arena, there's about every 50 feet is a set of restrooms, and in between the restrooms is a drinking fountain.
Nice.
So just, and those are, we're talking restrooms like flush toilets. I never went into a single one that smelled like anything other than bleach. Multiple times on multiple days, I would walk in and there's someone in there mopping.
So these are regular permanent bathrooms.
Permanent fixture bathrooms. Yeah.
So these are probably developed and built for
the fairground.
For
the state fair.
For whatever happens
there. And there's rodeos and multiple fairs and festivals and all manner of other things. So, yeah, it's... So I've been to a lot of, when I say a lot, I mean probably 25 1-day festivals.
Okay.
And probably 4 2-day festivals and 0 3-day festivals. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of mismanagement, and I've never seen one run so well as the one that I was at last weekend.
You kind of wonder how they got their shit together so well, so quickly.
I think it's just put together by, there's a lot of volunteers,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's put together by people that just kind of know what they're doing. Now, I was on got back into town Monday night.
Is it actually in Salt Lake, per se?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like,
so you have a big enough town to draw volunteers.
I can see the Capitol building from like, one of the stages. Okay. Like, it's just, like, kind of just
that's
looking at the stage.
How many stages were there? Do you know?
1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 stages.
Okay.
4 stages. Yeah.
And they're all playing at the same time?
There's overlap, but not full sets, not starting at the same time.
Okay.
So you have 2 stages that are right next to each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are never, there's never overlap. It's like one artist ends, and then within 10 minutes, another artist starts up at the other stage,
so
and back and forth
up
all day long.
They're doing this kind of thing.
But the timing, the main stage is all the way on the other side of the fair park, which is a hike. You know, it's probably not quite a quarter mile,
mm-hmm.
about a quarter mile, maybe a little less than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not bad. There's shade and whatnot. But you can't really. When one artist is playing on the main stage, you can't hear any of the other stages.
Okay. I'm sorry for asking all these kind of semi-technical
questions.
No,
you like stuff like that, and I'm prepared. That's why I paid attention to a lot of this stuff, because I knew.
Because I like,
picked apart Taylor Swift's thing, too, because of it. Which
I like well-run
kind of
events. Like,
yeah.
Like, you'd be more than likely to go to an event like that. Now that you know that it's well-run, you go, okay, they got their shit together up there.
And honestly, there's only 2 notes that I would give those people. In fact, Tiff texted me earlier, me and Jeremy.
Notes. You said notes?
Yes.
Okay.
Tiff texted me earlier, and I will be putting that in there because I know a lot of other people will, is that we got sent a survey.
Okay.
You know, just a, hey, let us know what we did right, what we did wrong.
That's
and
a good,
please,
it's a very good
it's
idea.
It's incredible. And to do it, it was sent this morning, like the Tuesday after the festival ended on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when it's fresh in everyone's mind. And I was actually, when I got home last night, I was still a little jazzed up from the trip because I had so much fun and met so many, like,
this
just
was an
interesting
email
people.
You got or something like that?
I didn't get the email. Tiff did because she's the one who bought the tickets.
Got it. Okay.
So she texts me. She's like, here, fill this out.
Okay.
You should, because the things that we talked about, I think you could put into words better. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
So they had one water bottle, like, because they let you bring in empty refillable water bottles. Like, okay. I just brought in a plastic because I wasn't going to carry my. Sure. That heavy Hydro Flask, and it's Utah. It's not that hot.
You carry a small, like, I've got a hiking
the pack. Camelback. Camelbacks were allowed in. They just you had to open it up and show it to them.
Okay,
if they asked.
Okay,
that was something else I was going to say. One of the positive notes that I won't put in, but I'm glad, is that security was non-existent. Okay. You walk through metal detectors.
Okay,
but that's it.
Okay,
no one ever looked at my bag. I could have brought in a fucking key of Coke and paid for a ticket 10 times over.
And then funded all kinds of, like, your next house.
Yes. And no one would have been the wiser because you could. I walked in, I had with a little bit bigger than a fanny pack that I bought for the trip that has a you would wear it as a fanny pack, or it came with an extendable belt. So you can make it a shoulder bag. So I just wore it as a shoulder bag for some of the days. But we also had lockers, which came with the VIP thing, which was pretty badass.
Could you bring in your own folding chair if you were so
inclined? No chairs allowed.
Okay.
No chairs were allowed. And I understand.
Get it.
Yeah, no, I get it. It becomes a space issue.
Yeah.
And then what you'll have is inevitably you would have, like, I don't know, somebody in my age range for the... Because every single one of the headliners are bands that... Now... Vampire Weekend was Friday night. They just released a new album back in April.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what was cool about them is not only had I been wanting to see them for well over 15 years, but about actually like 16 years when their first album came out, and finally got to see them Friday night, which was, they were incredible. And if any of you listening are, if that name sounds familiar, they played Friday night in Salt Lake City and flew out to New York City to perform on Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
This past Saturday. So they were they're cool. A musical guest.
Yeah.
And they're incredible. In fact, I kind of wanted to pick your brain about it. And I always knew that they were kind of odd music.
Picking my brain?
Yeah, because I want you to listen to them. I want you to sit down and just really give them a solid chance.
Okay.
Because there was something that I met at the festival, became pretty good friends with, and I'm probably going to go and visit him and hang out with him in Austin. His name is Jim. Jim was worked at Second City in Chicago, improv, for like 4 years.
Okay,
which is, what an interesting cat.
Sure,
because he said, "Man, you're really fucking funny. Have you ever done stand up?" And I was like, "I've done a little open mic." And he goes, "No, you should definitely do that." I said, "I appreciate that." And he goes, "No, listen, I worked at Second City for several years, trying to make a go. I, you know, love Chicago and this, and that, and the other, but it just wasn't for me, and I didn't." Feel like I was going anywhere in it, so I stopped. But you're funny. You should really explore.
Funny.
You should come out to Austin and hang out. We'll go over to the mothership. And I started fucking losing my mind a little bit. But anyway, he made a comment that he said, "Man, Vampire Weekend is so cool. They're so strange, but they're so like danceable and singable that they have like they're kind of like a newer Talking Heads."
Okay.
And I know you're a Talking Heads fan.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that to Pete today. He's also a big fan of the Talking Heads. He goes, "You know, at first I wanted to tell you to go fuck yourself." Then I started thinking about the songs and the music I've heard from Vampire Weekend, and they're in that kind of realm. Okay. Half the band start off as art students at NYU.
So you want me to listen to them and see if I kind of think they're kind of in that same thing?
And the funny thing is like maybe a month ago I played some for Tom, for my stepdad. And he's like, "So who's going to be at this concert?" So I started telling him about it, and two of the bands that I saw... He was like, "I'm going to listen to the shit out of these."
Right.
These bands. And one of them, the other one was Saturday Night Headliner, or one of the co-headliner was the Postal Service.
Okay. Yeah.
And, but yeah, Vampire Weekend is kind of, they use some strange instrumentation. They have wildly approachable, or wildly cryptic lyrics that just kind of don't make sense because you're not the person who wrote them, and it doesn't need to make sense to you.
Right.
It's just so fucking incredible. But if you really, if you listen to it over and over and over again, you'll start to understand. Okay.
All right,
and so they use strange instruments. That's the other thing, too, because Talking Heads were kind of known for, like, oh, that's kind of an Afrobeat thing. Oh, that sounds kind of like Indian music. And that's Vampire Weekend just rolled all that shit in there. But
to back up a hair, what were the two things you're going to give them a note
the
on?
Notes were there was only one water fill station.
Oh, that's what you were talking before. Okay.
So even going back as far as like Warped Tour, which is, you know, the punk rock, ska, they kind of went off the rails. It was kind of originally supposed to be punk rock, but they did whatever. I want to say it was like 2003 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had these new things that nobody had ever seen before, and they were let you bring in empty water bottles. And then you go to these water fill stations, and you just put it there. It's like you see at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's light activated, set your water bottle in there and pull it away and you want it to shut off, and it fills up real fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably, if you really had to, it's probably 15 liters a minute kind of thing,
right?
As opposed to a drinking fountain, so that is like, not that.
So it's only one.
There was only
station?
One of those that had three actual.
Was there like long ass lines?
Yeah, and then you had all the drinking fountains that had super long lines.
Okay.
Well, that's one thing, and I don't know why they haven't got that figured out. It's odd looking at.
Think they were trying to make you buy their stuff?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean the water was free. In fact, I don't remember seeing water being for sale at any of the beverage places.
Well, I mean, so now it's going to force you to buy a $4 soda or something, or a $10 soda.
Kinda, I guess.
Maybe. Do you think that could have been?
It's possible, but they heavily encourage people to bring in reusable water bottles of any kind. So.
Okay.
When I saw that, I just assumed, oh, okay, there's going to be water fill stations.
So you waited in line to do this before?
Multiple times. Multiple times.
Was it how long was it?
Longest I had to wait was about 10 minutes.
That's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but
yeah.
It could have been 0 minutes if they put maybe five of those water fill, like a five stations with like four little mini stations.
Those like portable stations they put around. All right, what was the second note?
This is more just a gripe, but they ran out of merchandise. Oh. They had about 50% of the merchandise that they should have had, and that's bands and the Kilby like organizers of the whole thing, because they have their own set of merchandise that has like Jeremiah wore a large. He walked up to get wanted to get a large sweatshirt because Saturday it actually got cold.
Mm-hmm.
Probably when we left at about 10:45, 11 o'clock, whenever the show was over, walking out, like the whole mass exodus, it was probably 50 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're standing in a group of people dancing your ass off, singing, whatever, having a great time, there's and we're talking 20,000 plus people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of heat. As soon as you walk away from that, oh, shit, and you're sweaty.
Right.
And it's freezing. So Jeremiah, he's like, I should get a hoodie. Went to go get a hoodie, and they're like, we just sold out. And he goes, it's Saturday at like 4.
And they went,
they got a whole other night out. And the entire day and night the next day.
So that's hard to tell unless they didn't know.
He got one, but they kept selling out. It's like they just couldn't stock them.
So they were making them locally too, like cranking them out or
probably,
something?
Probably, yeah.
That's hard to, you know, if you're making a dated event that has something on it, it's like how much money are you going to
spend? People are going to want to commemorate that because they have picked.
But if you crank out way too many, it's like, fuck, now then we've lost money.
Then you're stuck with them, exactly.
You know, so.
But those are the only two things.
Yeah.
And the other merch too is one of the strangest things ever. I assume you've done this before. You go to a concert. And either during the show, or maybe even before the show, or after the show, at some point, you're doing a bump of coke, and you're like, I should buy a T-shirt,
right?
And so you go to the merch booth, right?
Okay, yeah.
So this, instead of having one merch booth for each, like they had a merch booth for each band in like an event space, an event hall.
Okay.
And you went through like turnstiles to get into it, like your fucking amusement park or something.
Okay.
To get in, which is great, but they had nothing. Like nothing was left by Saturday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and then Sunday we went through just to see if they restocked or anything. They didn't restock, so it was that was a problem that a lot of people were griping about. So I couldn't quite come home and go straight to bed last night. I had to do at least a load of laundry and open up all the windows in my house because it was stuffy as shit because it had been closed up for 5 days, and I was looking on the Kilby Block Party Reddit subreddit, and just reading up, just, you know, catching whatever's on there, and there was a guy who did a full breakdown analysis of everything, and he's like, I used to do event coordinating, and he's like, just so you know, this isn't just some normal dude on the internet complaining. I worked on Coachella from 2004 to 2014, and I've worked at Bonnaroo, I've worked Sasquatch when that was a thing, and Outside Lands in San Francisco. I know how to do that. And also, you know, he's like, in dozens of smaller festivals. He said, this is the most well-run young festival I've ever seen. Uh-huh. Like, for them only doing it for 5 years, it's incredible. However, merchandise is a problem, because that was the biggest complaint that I heard from most people. And why have we not figured out water stations?
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of jumped on that comment, like, you're absolutely correct. Like, everything else was great. Do you have your other complaints? The alcohol was too expensive. It's an event.
Right, that's going to happen.
A 24-ounce can of Banquet was $10. That's not fucking bad at all.
Yeah. 24-ounce, yeah. It's
24-ounce.
Like, not too bad.
You're paying $5 for $5 every per 12-ounce.
Yeah, that's
for
not
an
terrible.
Event. That's fucking so cheap.
Yeah.
That's but $20.
The merchandisers also probably wish they made a whole lot more shirts and shit too, because they would have made a shitload more money.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they did it on purpose.
Oh yeah, no,
they just missed the mark.
It was not so much the lack of merchandise to sell; it was how poorly planned both the bands. Because it wasn't the bands. The bands would love to sell a ton of merch, because the markup on concert merch is ridiculous.
High.
It's like 1500% or something.
Right. McDonald's French fries. Like, how much is the potato? They own potato farms. How much are the potatoes in a thing of fries at McDonald's cost?
Right.
Them. I don't know. 3 cents,
if not less than that.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so yeah. I think what it was is the fact that the festival, kind of like what we were talking about before we started recording, the festival has gotten so popular. Plus, this lineup this year was just fucking bonkers. Like,
right.
It was. You've got four major headliners that all four of those bands have headlined big festivals like Coachella
and
Bonnaroo.
And then you have things like, it's only the fifth year, you said.
It's only the fifth year.
Now it gets on this subreddit, and people, if one dude goes, this is the best run thing, I mean, more people are going to want to probably show up.
But they
up.
Can't fit any more people in there. They VIP sold out.
So they have a fixed number of tickets.
They have a fixed number of tickets, yeah.
When do they sell them again? When do they go on sale? That's the next question, right?
For next year?
Yeah, I mean,
I think they don't go. I don't think they go on sale until like maybe February.
Did they sell it quickly? I wonder.
VIP sold out at the end of April. So, and the festival.
So it
was
took
only,
a little while.
Yeah, it took a little while.
Okay.
GA didn't. I don't know that GA sold out. It sold out like they did purchase like the cutoff, I think, was last Monday. So, like, the Monday before the Friday of the
festival. So, it's not going to be a thing like, oh, they went on sale February 2nd, and there's now one day, and they're gone. Fuck, I know.
I don't think it'll ever get like that, no.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know.
Nor would they allow that, I'm sure.
That does happen.
Oh, absolutely. Places. Yeah.
So.
I will say that, you know, you and I have seen Roger Waters together. You've seen him a lot more times than that, or a handful more times than that.
Two or three times before. I should have known this, but yeah.
I know it's a different kind of music that I was watching, but the visuals, both with the screens, because every single stage had a screen, which is kind of cool. Now, I didn't watch anything in the evening on any of the smaller shows. Well, that's another thing that they did really well. As soon as the sun was setting, that's when the auxiliary stages, like the other three stages, were like, they'd slowly taper off. Like, you have the desert stage off to the side. That one shut down at probably 5 o'clock, 5:15, something like that was the last time somebody played on that one. The other stage is going to be like 5:45, they're done. Then you had one, you know, person playing at like 6 p.m. on this other stage. And by 7:15, that one was done. And then the sun is about to start, you know, then the final stage, which is on the other end, like the main stage and then your final act for the night, didn't go on until like 8:30 or something like that, or 8:40. So the way they staggered it was really nice, so that when any of the headliners are playing, nobody else is playing.
Okay.
Because nobody's going to fucking Unless you're a super fan, right. Like the Wu-Tang Clan was supposed
or
to be
your
on,
boyfriend or
like,
girlfriend's playing in the band, and you gotta
and you have to, otherwise you're gonna get fucking divorced or broken up with,
right?
But they did it right, man. The timing was great, the scheduling, because they did it, they staggered everything so that you had nobody playing at the exact same time or the exact same time slot. It was a little bit staggered by like 15 or 20 minutes.
So that's good.
It was good. And yeah. I mean, there was one band that was playing on the one stage. There was a band that was playing from Dayton that I wanted to see that's Guided by Voices, an old kind of a 90s band, a bunch of old dudes. And I hadn't seen them since I was 15. And I was like, I want to check these guys out. I also don't feel like standing out in the fucking sun because it's going to be a very long night because I had like the Sunday night. And that'll wear you down, man. Well, it'll wear you down, and I was already worn down because I already spent 2 days out in the sun.
Yeah.
And, you know, walking to and from the venue here and there. Although we only did that. We took an Uber Friday to the venue and walked home that night and then never walked home ever again. Never walked to or from. It's about a mile away. Mm-hmm. It's an easy walk. But man, after your feet and your back are tired, you're just it's fucking out in the sun. It's a marathon. It really is.
Yeah,
it's
all day you're on your feet.
I'm glad I paid attention to what Jeremiah told me and a few other people that gave me tips. Is like, watch your nutrition. Don't try and drink all day, which I don't like to. I don't like to drink really. When it comes to concerts, anyway, just because of my own personal experiences when I got all fucked up and wasn't allowed backstage at that Dropkick Murphy show all those years ago. I just don't want to do it. Plus, why pay the prices for that?
Right.
Especially when it's hot. You're never, ever going to get a buzz unless you spend $200 on liquor.
And that, who and fucking cares? In the sun and all that. So, and, yeah, it's a different time.
It really is. It's not like going to a bar. And people want to get all fucked up all day long. Hey, that's fucking great, man. Mm. I get it. I will say this. Each night, the best thing was to go, like, Friday night, we went to that after party and saw the jam band. They fucking kicked ass. They're so good. Loom, L-O-O-M, Loom Music on Instagram. Go check them out. Vince and the boys are fucking incredible. The first thing I ordered, I walked right up to the bar. Hey, how was the first day of the festival? I'll tell you, as soon as you get me a double Tito's. And she's like, I can't give you a double. It's against the law. And I'm like, oh, Mormons. She's like, but I can get you a shot, and I can make you a heavy single. And I was like, yes, ma'am. So she did that. Cool. Tito's in a lime, and I said it was incredible. I fucking cried during Vampire Weekend. I absolutely fucking love this festival, and I love the town. And then because I said I love the festival and love the town, she gave me a free shot.
Okay.
So I had four shots of vodka like that instantly, and that made my back start to feel a hell of a lot better within about 5 minutes. Fuck, man. It was and that the venue where I was a super small venue. And they had like stadium seating in the in the back of the room, which is a very small room, probably 40 by 40, and 20 feet of it was church pews.
Okay,
it was like imagine stadium seating but church pews.
Yeah,
no wonder my granddad used to fall asleep in church all the time. They were so comfortable after a long day.
Yeah.
But anyway.
These places like that, because Salt Lake is not a huge, it's a metropolitan place, of course, but it's not a massive city. But you think of all the stages they had and the main stage, it's like, you know, who owns these stages and they bust them down and where are they stored?
They're all the modular trailer, like Transformer. I call them Transformer stages. Where so you can
I wonder if they're locally based like, or if they came from some other city.
Probably came from some other city, or it could be in Las Vegas. Las Vegas has...
That's true. They got a fuckload of stuff.
There's a lot of shit going on up there.
Yeah.
And there's... just like anywhere, and this is something I learned a long time ago, probably 20 years ago, anywhere where you have a lot of repression and oppression, whether religious or some other kind... It's going to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and what's going to pop out is going to be a ton of really good art.
Mm-hmm.
Because Salt Lake has a pretty incredible, and that entire northern Utah area with Ogden and Sandy and Bountiful and Draper, all those they all have really great and deep art scenes, whether it's visual arts or music or any other kind of art. And so... there's tons of like performance venues all over Salt Lake City.
Cool.
And they have a couple different festivals every year. They have an EDM, like, you know, dance music festival that's not huge. It's not, it's, I, they, from what I was told, it's about half the attendance of the Kilby Block Party, which they estimated at about 25,000 per day. You know, and because some people bought single day tickets, yeah. I can tell you that the Saturday crowd was quite a bit bigger, probably in the order of like 5,000 to 7,000 more people on Saturday than Friday or
I can imagine that
or yeah. Sunday. Well, that was the Postal Service and Death Cab for Cutie headlining, and each one's playing their biggest album, the Postal Service their only album from beginning to end. That was going to be, and Jeremiah big even draw. Said big it was going to be draw. A huge draw. But also, like the Sunday night was LCD Sound System, which I assume you heard.
Yes,
you've heard of before. Yeah. And I'm telling you, Paul, I fucking like it was hands down in the top three live acts I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that. You and I have seen a lot of concerts.
Right. Oh yeah.
The way that they timed everything, the lighting, the visuals. One of the cool things that they did was that at about one song, like maybe I can't remember if it was halfway through the first song or halfway through the second song, all of a sudden it started like raining. These little plastic packages that were like kind of flat, didn't hurt anybody. And it was people from in the very back just throwing fistfuls and slowly started passing them up toward people. There were 3D glasses, and you put them on, and the images that they were, the video they were projecting.
Oh, that's cool.
Or they weren't projecting, but they're LED.
Yeah.
They have two giant LED screens that are portrait mode, mm-hmm. and you have one giant one at the very back of the stage. A lot of them were red and blue, mm-hmm. and there were 3D glasses, okay. and it's so on brand for LCD Sound System, mm-hmm. like for them to do something like that, that kind of shit. The way that, and Jeremiah and I talked about this, like the lead singer of LCD Sound System, the guy who put the band together, you know, almost around 20 years ago, he was a producer, an audio engineer, and a DJ. Before he ever decided to start a band, he started a band at 36 years old.
So he was kind of in that mode already of that kind of stuff.
And if you've ever been in a club, which I know you have been, and you've got a good DJ, and the good DJ will start off the crowd something kind of slow, and then build intensity. But you also are doing that in each song. LCD Sound System is a band that does that.
Yeah.
So each song has that intensity, and then you also have the intensity building in the set. And then it slowly tapers off, and they just fucking killed it. I'm telling you, I don't know that I've seen a live act that perfectly paced a 90-minute set better than they did.
So
also, they had about a 25-foot diameter disco ball that wasn't always going off.
Yeah.
It's also part of like their logo thing. It's like a disco is a disco ball. But it wasn't always going off, but it would be like when you would hit certain points in certain songs – that's when you'd have strobes, and they had strobes all around it that would hit it while it was spinning, okay. and it would speed up or slow down based on the tempo. That was the cool. disco ball was directly above the stage. The disco ball was about the same ratio of diameter to a human as the giant boulder that Indiana Jones runs away from.
Okay.
That's how fucking big it was. Yeah. It was gigantic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's a good time and
little bit,
and,
yes.
And if you depending on, I guess, the lineup next year, I'm guessing you'll
probably. I will most likely go next year, regardless of the lineup, because I met so many cool people, had a ton of fun, and it's an incredibly well run festival.
Okay.
Here's the way to put it in context. Let's say Las Vegas put on a festival like that, okay. 3 days, which I don't remember the last time they did a festival that was 3 days in Vegas. They do those big one off festivals,
right?
That
where
is
they
like,
have shootings.
They have 60. Yes. Or they have like 60 bands in one day, and you're like on five stages, and you never get to see everything.
Big monster one day things they do.
The Sick New World was a few weeks ago, and then last fall was the emo one, which I can't remember, which was the second of each one of those that's done. But a 3 day festival, I paid. Let's say the ticket is $350, right? Well, then you have a plane ticket to go up there. That's going to be $200. Although Tiff and Jeremiah and I have decided that for next year, we'll most likely drive Jeremiah's vehicle up there. So we have a vehicle there.
Mm-hmm.
Between the three of us, is about $650 worth of plane tickets.
Mm-hmm.
it's not going to be nearly that much money on gas. Maybe $200 in gas because Jeremiah's vehicle is a hybrid or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, and it's not that long of a drive. It's about an 8-hour drive. It's not too bad. Dude, I can wipe my balls with an 8-hour drive.
Yeah, you can take turns driving a little bit just because.
Or I've got truck driver blood and I'll just fucking go.
Yeah.
We leave it.
I've done that a bunch. I was going to tell you, the only time I've been in Utah was at a quick layover years ago. But then since I moved here, I've dropped off and picked up a couple airplane pieces up in.
Oh, Bountiful, right?
Bountiful. Yeah. And then, not Nephi, but it was another on the way up.
Lehigh.
Yeah, something.
Was it Lehigh?
I don't think so. I don't know.
No.
But yeah, it's about 8 hours. So it's a long one haul. And I usually go up there and spend the night and then come back. Or yeah. I've done a turn and burn all the way up to Bountiful. That was a long
I think you did.
Day.
I remember you telling me about that. That was recent. That was like in the past year.
Not in a year. It's been a couple years. Probably.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Anyway.
There's all these flight schools up. But I haven't. The point is, I haven't gone up to Salt Lake and gone into the city or done anything in Salt Lake at all.
I think you'd be impressed. It's very clean.
Yeah, they keep their places clean up there.
They really
do. I'm telling you.
The Mormons
give a shit about trash. If it's Mormon or I don't know what it is, but they do. But they seem to be clean everywhere.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, so whatever it is, I don't know if it's, I have no idea. Maybe you know. I don't know. But every little town I've stopped in there, it was all clean, you know?
I think there's a lot of money in that town, and they put money towards keeping the place looking good and making it so it's somewhat of a tourist draw.
And there's probably are fewer people that litter.
Well, I don't know about that. There's a lot of trashy people there. I saw it.
I think there's fewer people that litter compared to a poorer town.
I would venture guesses to say that it's more likely that there's more people that pick up after other people than there are that litter.
But
understand what you mean.
But yeah.
But anyway, so
Do you want, before we take a break, do you want to do a quick review of your Delta flight?
Oh yes, yeah. I have some things to say about Delta.
Okay.
Keeping in mind that I have not flown one of the quote unquote major carriers, which is, I know what legacy carriers like to
United
call
American
themselves,
and Delta.
Which is what the legacy carriers like to call themselves, even though Spirit has a bigger fleet. I don't know if that's
true.
You know
what the word legacy means, don't you?
Yeah, it means on their way
out. You
have
a bigger fleet than Delta Airlines.
I'm just kidding.
There's no fucking way. Are United?
I wanted to see how long it would take you to fucking lose your mind on that.
They have a younger flight because they're a younger airline. They may have an average younger flight.
Yeah.
Although Delta's buying a lot of new stuff now, but I don't know how many.
Yeah, the Spirit trying to tell everybody, well, we have the newest flight and all that. Well, yeah, that's because you've been around for like 5 years.
You can buy older shit too, but they probably lease new stuff. Everybody leases now. Delta was the last carrier that owned all their aircraft. They were the last ones that said, okay, fine, we won't own anymore. We'll just lease them from now on. You know, they were the last ones to do that. Anyway.
Yeah, so I actually, I have no beef with Delta. I was impressed from beginning to end, except they're just like all the other carriers. They load up their plane the wrong way, the most inefficient way fucking possible. And
yeah, I don't understand why.
I mean, let first class and anybody who needs extra assistance load first, and then you start at the very back of the plane and work fucking forward. It's not that fucking difficult, and you'll knock 30 minutes off of your process time. What the fuck, like? Who fucking decides these things?
I will tell you.
These are airlines. They're peak efficiency most of the time, or they want to be, except in that one regard, they're like, nope, this is the way we've always done it, folks. We're not going to change
it. I know it's probably a 737 or an a small Airbus.
Both flights, there and back, were a 737-800.
Okay. So maybe the 737, it won't work because it's got the one main door in front. So I think everybody goes in there. But in the bigger aircraft, like in the a 7.6 or 7.5, which is even, it's narrow body, but it's got more doors. Anyway, I remember when I was much younger, because my father flew for Delta, but you'd have, someone would have two jetways going in.
Yes.
First class, or you have one big one going in, and you would turn left for first class, and you turn right for coach.
Correct.
And that makes it faster that way,
yes,
too.
Yes.
So I don't know if they've gotten rid of jetways, or the design of the aircraft are different, but that was faster than
Paul.
As
I'm looking at it, and there's no reason to not. Now there's only one way to get in, like that, maybe not a double jetway or whatever, because it's not necessary for that small of an aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what, you can still load from the back to the front.
Here's
after
one thing
after you do first class. I get it. Those folks paid a premium.
Sure,
they're the ones that are actually making the airlines money, and I fucking understand. I totally understand the profit.
Right.
But just for efficiency, if like you could add one more flight a day if you wanted to.
Right.
You know, if you add up, let's say it takes 15 minutes per flight faster if you load from the back. So like the boarding zone one, okay, that's the first five rows. It was boarding zone two, and then you're zone eight, and then you're just you're having to still deal with people who are putting shit up in between here and there and putting things away, and they haven't sat down. It's so fucking stupid.
So I know they have some. There's like a profit center with some of this stuff too, because you can pay a little bit more to board earlier. It doesn't matter where you're sitting. You know, some of the stuff.
Oh yeah, you can pay priority boarding.
Right. So that, but that it may not mean that you're going to sit in the back. And, you know, they're going to. God knows where you're sitting. So that fucks that
but
up
the
too.
But the bulk of the cattle call is going to be people that aren't those people, are the people that are super economy. They're cheap as fuck like me, that have their carry ons. Seriously, while everybody in the rear five rows. You let them on first after first class. Let the rearward five rows load first. You get on there. You're okay. Five rows. We're putting this. We're gonna get this settled in. Da, da, da. Then they bring the next round in. While and it's not blocking anybody. It makes perfect fucking sense to me.
So also years ago too, when I was much younger, you had much fewer carry-on stuff going on. It was all down below.
That's because check bags were either free or inexpensive.
Correct. So it's all changed, you know, and so that made a difference. Like, it was rare people carried stuff on. It was kind of an odd, like, you carry a magazine and, I don't know, what else you had? Your glasses and nothing else.
My mom always made me, if it was the family flying, it was usually me as the big brother to have one backpack that had, like, snacks and like maybe formula or a bottle if Sean was a little baby or something like that, or you know, whatever. But it was only the only person that carried anything on other than my mom's purse was me with a backpack.
Right.
That's it. Like, it's unnecessary.
But there has to be reasons that we don't know why they load that way. Because I wouldn't think that the airlines would want to have a bunch of people standing around in the lobby or in the terminal area.
I don't know if this is the case, but area. At some point I read maybe a year or two ago somewhere that. Somebody said, I don't know if this is the reason, but it's possible that the plane can't stand that much weight in the rear, like rear of the wings or rear of the landing gear.
That is true.
That's potentially a problem as a balance issue.
That is true.
Okay, I'm sure there's a way you can design something around that.
Right.
Just for the sheer fact of how much more efficient that would be and how much time it would save.
Right.
But otherwise, I had zero gripes. Plenty of snacks, lots of water. I was like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I was out in the sun all weekend long, and I was day drinking. And she started laughing. She goes, I'm flying to Vegas, and I have 4 days off, so I will be right there with you in 24 hours. And brought me their only little 8-ounce plastic water bottles.
Yeah, they're small.
But I just slammed it real fast, and she just asked for it back. I thought she was going to throw it away. She went and refilled it and gave it to me. Refilled me like four times.
Cool.
Super nice. Biscoff cookies. They fucking serve those things, man.
Serve Biscoff, yeah. That's very...
And Sun Chips.
That's a Delta thing for a while. And Sun Chips, they've had those for a while.
Yeah, I was... And she goes, do you want some more? And I was like, I do, but I'm not hungry right now. I fucking love these things. And she's like, here you go. And so I have like 10... packs, like two packs of them. Mm-hmm. She just gave them to me, and then I was in the very last row, right? Mm-hmm. I had a bulkhead right behind me, and so I just, as soon as they, you know, came to a stop in Vegas, turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. I jumped up, grabbed my bag, and set it down, and just backed up out of the way. And she just put her hand on my shoulder. She's like, "I love how courteous you are that you didn't try and just run up."
Right.
And I'm like, what am I going to do? Run up just to hang out and wait?
Right.
Still have to wait for another. I'm in row 34.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of people in front of me. I'm just going to stand here and bullshit with you and see if you can maybe.
I don't even stand up. I just sit there in my seat until the plane is about empty. Seriously, until it's about empty.
The only reason I stood up is because I had two people sitting next to me that had no bags.
Oh, okay.
And I was aisle seat, so I just said, fuck it, I'll just stand. I wanted to stand anyway.
Right.
And so I said, I'm just standing here and bullshit with you for a bit. And she goes, well, actually, I kind of wanted to pick your brain. This is where I'm staying. this is what I like to do. I like this kind of food and this and that and the other. And I'm like, I just get your phone out and I'll start giving you tips. Uh-huh. So for like 15 minutes, we just shot the shit with her.
Uh-huh.
Told her, gave her a few tips and tricks about Vegas. And but yeah, Delta was very pleasant. It was clean.
Did she say where she was based, where the flight attendant crew was based?
Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's yeah, she was super fucking cool.
Yeah.
Becky.
Nice.
Yeah, Becky. And just fucking, I forgot what it was like to fly one of those carriers. Not that I've ever had any issues on Frontier or Allegiant or Spirit. It's not the carrier. I think we've talked about this, and Jeremiah said the same thing, because he's flown Frontier a lot, because it's direct, you know, his folks live in Eugene, Oregon, so like he flies from Vegas to Eugene all like seemingly once a month.
Do they have a monitor in there? Behind,
yeah, I had a monitor, and I also had Wi-Fi, so I just used Flight Tracker and
you or Flight Aware rather. Not a long of a flight, but you had free movies, I guess, right? You could watch.
Yeah, there are free movies, but yeah. I wasn't. It was only an hour.
It's not a long flight.
It was 50. It was 57 minutes.
Yeah, it's a short flight
from takeoff to landing. So yeah. I wasn't really worried about it. And I was still so fucking jazzed up from the whole weekend that I was listening to dance music, like the most anxious, agitated, fast music you could think of on an airplane where I can't move.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know why, but I had such a great time all weekend. I was like, fuck it, who cares?
Right, right.
But anyway, right. But yes, Delta.
Yeah, there it is. Doesn't ever leave the airport. That's a friend of mine used to always say.
Oh, fuck that.
Because
there's delays. Because of Atlanta. Because Atlanta fucking sucks, and it's not just for Delta, it's everybody.
I'm telling you, it was good living in Atlanta if you were traveling.
Oh, no. Because
you don't have to go anywhere else. I love that. No connecting flights.
I get it. No, it's like Atlanta's like, we don't connect here. Right. You guys connect here.
Right.
Is the cat being needy?
I mean, she's got an animal of some kind.
Oh, my God.
Let's take a break and see what
fucking animal. I was thinking we'd push through another 10 minutes and just call it good. Or let's take a break.
Let's take a quick break.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back.
All right. That's how it starts. We go back to your house. You check the charts. We'll be right back.
Paul's going to be you're going to be trafficking kids.
Yes.
Flying children.
Haven't done this in a while.
How old? 6 to 18.
I think it's officially, I think it's 7 to 17.
Okay.
I think.
So it's for those of you that aren't familiar, it's called Young Eagles, and it's sponsored by the EAA, the Experimental
Association. Yeah.
Yeah.
And helped out by the national group out of Wisconsin. You know, they pay for insurance and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, so it's they haven't done it here in a while, I suppose. Where they have some pilots that have moved, and some have gotten older and quit flying and all that. And so we've had as many as like 6 or 7 airplanes.
Yeah.
Now we're down to 4, and I'm one of them. But I told them I wouldn't, I'm getting details now, I wouldn't do it unless they had at least 4 airplanes in case someone couldn't make it or something. Now it's down to 3 airplanes. Now it's going to be a problem.
Right. Which, and I'm sure not all of the airplanes that are flying can seat.
Only 2 of them.
3, like you can? Yeah.
Yeah.
Three yeah. additional.
And one of them is Dave Amspoker. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think I've seen his name on a list somewhere. No.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be this Saturday from and by the way, it's going to be staged at the terminal building. We used to have it at the EAA hangar.
Right.
Which is – that was kind of crap because, well, all the crap was out here, but now it's better. But it's at the the cafe/terminal building.
So at what time – like anybody that can they show up still
for this? Yeah, I think about 8. You don't have to sign up or anything ahead of time. I think it's like from 8 to 12. I don't know if we're going to start flying at 9. I should know this, but you're going to have to look it up. I don't know who's making. I don't think there's anybody making, like Tim Gerlach would make posts on when he was the EA president, you know,
right.
on Facebook page, much better than everybody else does now.
Yeah, I mean, most of that, the Gomer crowd that has flip phones.
Exactly. But I think it's somewhere around, like, call it 8 o'clock or 9, but you may not be able to start flying.
Flying until about
9. And I think they go from about 12 or to 12:30.
And this doesn't cost anything.
Correct.
It's totally free for parents.
There.
It doesn't cost you anything. This is to get
yep.
the youth involved in aviation.
Yeah,
potentially,
and it works somewhat. You know, some people continue on with some flying career. It's a little hard in this town but there is now a flight school here, so it's possible. In fact, we're going to be trying to get. What did someone tell me about? We're trying to get a little scholarship going. We had this a while back. Try to get a scholarship going, and then pick someone. You know, to go all the way through this flight school here, and all the way up through solo or something like that to pay for it all. So
that's
It's not right now, but we're working on this.
We're trying
to put this together. I think we did it again a few years ago. It's going to happen again. But I haven't participated in a couple few years. So it'll be I'll have to, you know, jog my memory and get back into the groove.
Of
flying kids around, yeah. Shut up! You know, that kind of thing.
I will turn this plane around. Just like throw it on autopilot. That's something my folks couldn't do.
Right.
Throw the car on autopilot and turn around and slap the shit out of you. Can you imagine how much damage and how much more well-behaved you'd be?
You could do a lot more.
That's what's going to happen
now.
In generations to come when they have full self-driving vehicles.
Yeah.
Mom's going to be able to just like... unlock her seat and spin around like it's one of the chairs in the conversion van and just beat the shit out of the
kids.
Wouldn't
it be crazy if you really could do that? I think it's called self-driving version, 4, I think, is full
level. I think it's level 4.
Level 4. I think that's 100%. Like, an entire family could just fall asleep and drive like 400 miles to your destination. That's just kind of weird, isn't it?
I fucking love that idea.
I love that idea, too. I love being able to get up early for a flight and just hop into your car and just... And just go to sleep and know that you're going to arrive safely.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So, anyway, back to the Young Eagles.
Yeah.
I think it's such a cool event. I really wish I would have known when I was a kid that this was something that really the only barrier to getting into a plane and learning about how they work and just getting that little bit of experience... The only barrier is literally transportation to the airport. That's
right.
And I wish I would have known about these events because apparently it's been going on for a long time.
Long time, yeah.
And, you know, I was surrounded by little tiny airports in Ohio. There's probably an EAA event within 5 miles of where I lived in Ohio,
probably.
Anywhere I lived in Ohio.
More than likely, yeah.
And
I don't know what year they started doing those. I really don't know, but they've flown, I don't know, a couple million kids.
But the Discovery flights have been a thing since I think I read about it going back to like the 60s or something.
Probably a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
which is a similar thing. But
we'll give lights, and then hopefully you kind of set the hook in some kid. And but nonetheless, they can see. And usually, you have a certain route. We fly from here and go over towards Bull Mountain, then go to Stockton Hill Road, and you kind of fly over Home Depot. You can kind of Home Depot's an easy thing to see from the air because it's orange,
right?
So everybody's been in town, probably been to Home Depot, so that's an easy target.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's Home Depot, you know, and then towards downtown, and then towards Hualapai, and then back. It's like a little triangular kind of circuit, and then land, and then kick the kids out and
pick up some more.
More
chillins.
Right. Anyway, it's going to be happening this Saturday.
That's really cool.
At the terminal building / cafe from about 9 to noon. You just sign up, and I don't know how long it's going to, you know, sometimes a lot of people show up if it's a busy weekend. Like, for example, we've got street drags this weekend. I don't know if that's going to help or hurt it. There's also something else going on. There was something else going on downtown, too. Pride Festival's this weekend, I think.
That is true.
I think it is.
Yeah, so Mojave Pride that's Saturday.
So there's that, and then so there's different competing things that are happening sometimes. So so you never know. So to be honest, I hope we're not swamped, because I will be swamped personally because we don't have a lot of airplanes right now.
Right.
But I do. It is fun to give rides, and I hope we can, you know, make the kids happy.
Well, and you're definitely, out of all those rides that you've given over the years, and will continue to do, you know, presumably, you're going to inspire at least one kid to become like a full-fledged pilot.
There's been a few that we know are in aviation fields right now, and one of them is, yeah.
That's cool.
That came from here, yeah. So.
No, and your dad did a similar thing in the glider situation, right? Wasn't there a kid that came up to you after your father had passed and told you?
It was my sister, yeah. My sister he got a job, and because my sister knew that my father gave him a glider ride. It wasn't part of Young Eagles, but I don't know. I don't remember. My sister would know how, you know, maybe they were friends, and she goes, yeah, my dad flies, and you know, you can get maybe a glider flight, and he was hooked, and my father took him up, and he was flying for Delta at that point, just got out of the military, and gave him a flight, and he got hooked on flying because of that. And then my sister let him know. I think she reached out to him and said, just want you to know, my father passed away, and he just lost it on the phone because it was him that got him. He said, if it wasn't for your dad, I wouldn't be an American Airlines captain. He went that route and became I don't know if he went military also or not. Probably so.
I think he did. I think I remember that part of the story because your sister was. You had just visited when Georgia and hung out with your stepmom and your sister.
Right.
When you told me that story, so I think it was just fresh in your mind. If I remember correctly, he went into the Air Force.
Right, and then
got out.
The American Airlines captain. So it does work. It would be nice if they were a little bit easier to go from the flight to getting some training, because there still are little. You could call them a barrier if you want, but it's like, okay, it seemed like a far leap from getting a ride to now there's flight school, and some of it can be very expensive. So there, to me, there's a couple missing or some pieces in between that can be organized a little bit differently or made so it's a little bit simpler.
Something I looked into a couple months ago, and this I urge anybody who's in even mildly interested in a career in aviation to look into this, that virtually all of the carriers, the major carriers, mm-hmm. have these schools peppered throughout the country, mm-hmm. where, yeah, like I looked into it to get to be your commercial rating to handle, you know, basically your full blown commercial rating. I know that there's different mm-hmm. ratings and you have to get trained on certain size iron and all that stuff,
right.
But to get your basic twin engine jet, I guess, is another rating, right?
Yeah, your jet qualified enough, but there's all, you know, it's multi-engine, then there's complex, which is retractable landing gear. There's all kinds of little things, but go ahead.
Basically, to go in, I think it's at United, down in Goodyear.
Yeah.
So I looked into their school just mm-hmm. because it piqued my interest. I'm like, I'd have to lose at least 100 pounds.
Right.
But I have the brains for it. My age requirement is, I have no other issues other than my weight. That's it. I have the brain capacity for it.
I think they're still hiring if you're older now. You know?
Oh, yeah. No,
they don't care now.
In fact, I read into kind of like the, you know, does it say older pilot or older person? And then it says over 30. I'm like, I'm an older person at 43, but whatever, which is, it's fine.
Yeah.
They actually prefer that because we're typically more mature and regimented and just the same reasons why if you have a 22-year-old who has everything being equal and you look at the age, you're not supposed to discriminate between age, but you're pretty sure if you hire the 22-year-old, you may not get the best work ethic.
Right.
You've got a 43-year-old that has a good work history, at least they're consistent and you know that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they put that in there. They're like, there's nothing wrong with older pilots. Older pilots end up becoming the ones that are end up becoming the mentors in the program of the younger pilots because they know how to study. They know how to, they've documented things so they can do a logbook better. Someone who's 22 may have never done that, you know, or something in my case, like when I first started at the hospital, I did paper charting. Mm-hmm. Paper medical charting it can be fucking complex. Mm-hmm. That would be one of those things you put in there and go, I don't have to teach this guy how to do a logbook. He spent 2 minutes.
Right.
This is how I can fill out a logbook. Somebody else who's never written down paper shit is never going to fucking know how to do that. Mm-hmm. They're going to, and so the older people end up becoming mentors. But it's from no flight experience whatsoever. And then 18 months later, you've got your commercial rating to where you can fly multi-engine complex. You're not going to get, it's not going to be some big badass jet.
Well, it'd be like,
but you're going to start off just like everybody else does. You're like these little puddle jumpers. Slow, and
there's step ups you can do.
And
you start out, go ahead.
It's about $114,000.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Yeah. Now, that's a lot of money. Except there's all these fucking grants and scholarships, and they're just like any other college. They have ways to help you do that.
Yep.
Plus, there's loan forgiveness if you go into if you decide maybe you want to go into like a cargo wing, which is not as glamorous and it's not as much money.
Right.
You're still working for the airline. There's something to do with if you decide to go into that because you're hauling for United, they actually contract with USPS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you get federal loan forgiveness in the similar fashion that you would get like a lot of the doctors that I worked with. A lot of them chose KRMC in Kingman to do their residency because if they worked here for 5 years, it's considered rural, and they get 50% loan forgiveness.
Right.
So then 50% of that just goes away.
Yeah.
If you do things like that. And there's grants and scholarships, and they said the majority of their graduates leave with about $20,000 in debt.
Yeah.
Because they're able to finagle and figure this out and do this in different ways.
Which is manageable, and obviously.
So manageable for walking into $70,000, $80,000 a year.
Yeah, and they have, because there's still a pilot shortage now. And
which is why they're doing this, presumably.
And so they have other ways to help you. If you're qualified and they know that you're a good student or a good candidate, and you're going through, and you're making, you know, they don't want you to fail. They want you to succeed and do well and make them money too.
Absolutely,
you know. So that's
because they want to churn out. They don't want to have the tremendous pilot shortage. They want to continue to be profitable companies. So they're going to invest money in their flesh infrastructure.
But it's all, you know, I did a presentation in Tehachapi about this because there were more, like, say, glider pilots and tow pilots and going in aviation that were from Tehachapi, which is smaller than Kingman, because they have a glider port right there, and you can literally be in the elementary school or junior high school and be outside playing sports and look up and see these gliders being towed over town and releasing. You see that when you're a kid.
Man, that's
and you go,
so incredible.
You go, what is that? And then you go down the road 5 or 6 miles, and there's the glider port, and so there are kids that are hanging out there doing this. And you covet what you see.
Yep.
You get involved.
Exactly.
And if you don't see it or know it's around, and then, of course, a lot of people in this town still don't really know there's an airport out here, which is funny. But there's now a flight school that's returned, and it's back here. I understand this flight school is more for transitional training, like if you have a private license to get into your commercial or to get a multi-engine rating.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They're set up for that, but we're talking to them now about, hey, you want to get a student to do a scholarship from square zero all the way through. So we're trying to kind of work on that too a little bit, but I'm going to check it out more over this coming weekend to talk with them to see where they're heading with that, because I personally don't have a lot of time to leverage myself into that because I'm doing business stuff and our museum thing. So I'm not gonna spread myself any more thin at the moment, but that's the kind of thing that has to happen. So you have to at least set the hook and get people interested, and if you really are, like, now's a good time to get into aviation. If someone is young and there's some people that can't be stopped, you know, if they find they're interested in something,
yeah,
you can't slow them down.
like almost no matter what obstacles put in front of them, they're going to figure it out. They're going to go around, over, dig under. They're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to be able to set the hook initially somehow. So that's this weekend.
That is this weekend. Young yeah. Eagles, man. Saturday. You're doing a good deed for the youth.
We'll see what happens. We'll see if they throw a, like, you eat a snow cone and or throw up in my plane. I'm kidding. I just haven't done it in a while, so I got to get back in that mode. I got to get back in the Young Eagles mode.
Get in the Young Eagles mode.
Yeah.
Get your hose out.
Yeah.
Just in case you hose? Have to hose. Yeah, if you have to hose out the inside
the hose,
of your.
Not your hose.
Oh, my God. Yeah, make sure you bring your ring girls down in their bikinis and their big placards. Like, now boarding row 8.
The arrow. This way.
You need to buckle like this,
to
baby.
The plastic plane.
Like, why did you bring these people here? And anyway.
Yeah.
That's all I've got.
That's all I got.
All right, folks.
We're
have a good
out
week.
Of gas. So there you have it.
So much gas.
We do.